The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data, it's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. Find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century. Hardworking people working hard for you and me. Moving iron time and time again. Through the years you'll find us here. Moving Iron.
Hello and welcome to Moving Iron Podcast Markets with Chip Nillinger. Chip Nillinger is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. It's nice enough to come on and talk about what's happening in the world of commodities. Chip, how are you doing this morning, man? Mark, I guess it's afternoon now.
Doing well, Casey. It's fully spring here. The weather's warming up. We're getting a few showers, and guys actually wanted to kind of quit for a minute. There are some warmer temps in the forecast, so planters will be rolling here very soon. It's that time. You can smell it in the air, so Everybody's ready to go.
Yep, it is that time of the year. Plenty of things happening. We got a lot to talk about here. We got the market report came out, and the stocks ending stocks report came out for April here, and not a big shocker, I guess. Nothing really too crazy happened, but I guess your overall reaction, what you saw there, and there's some news out of Brazil that looked like it may be kind of a little over the place a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think the market did a good job. And typically in April crop report, you don't see many major changes. A couple little tweaks to domestic carryout. Beans were up a little bit to 340 million bushels. That compares to, 315 the month prior. Slightly smaller tweak in demand. Corn was the opposite. We saw 50 million bushel decrease there carryout, but that was pretty. Both of those were pretty well anticipated, right close to the average estimate. The wheat number was up a little bit, but again, that was expected. No big deal there. The real fireworks of this, if you want to call it fireworks, came in the world numbers, particularly the South American numbers. You know, we got earlier in the day, CONAB, which is kind of the equivalent of the USDA in Brazil, came out with their crop estimates, and they were in the mid-140s, I think 146 and change on their bean crop size. That was down about 300,000 metric tons, I should say 0.3 metric tons, so slightly lower, but still about, the USDA came out at 155 unchanged on Brazil beans. And so everyone's scratching their head saying, what is going on? You know, when you talk about metric tons, that equates to about, 300 million bushels. You know, people are like, what is going on? That, you know, everyone, including CONAB and other private firms, are just doing nothing but lowering their bean crop size in Brazil every month. And the USDA is just dead set and unchanged at 155 here. So a little bit of a head scratcher, didn't help our markets much today. Even a bigger discrepancy on the corn. CONAB came out, I believe, at 110 million metric tons and change. The USDA is sitting at 124. You crunch that out into bushels and convert it, it's 550 million bushels difference between the CONAB official estimate and the USDA. Not like a small number. Now, historically, if you look at the numbers, the USDA is typically higher for whatever reason. I'm not sure why that is. But never that I remember at this stage of the game, as far apart on corn as what we see it right now. I mean, and that's a big deal, because if their crop is 500 million bushels, a half a billion bushels lower than what the USDA has projected, we're uncertainly going to get some extra export demand out of that. Yeah. It's going to tighten your world carryout up. It's a different ball of wax. So that's where the fireworks or the real questions come out of this report. There's still plenty of time ahead of us here in the next 2-3 months for the USDA to kind of slowly get those numbers down to where CONAB is, and then this we could talk about this on the Argentina side. The USDA was down a million tons on the Argentine corn. There was some news out of there this week that they've got an insect problem causing some disease, and they dropped their crop estimate on their corn crop about 7 million tons, I believe, in one swoop. And so that's still, they've got a ways to go before that crop is mature and, you know, getting harvested. So there could be some additional damage on the way. So it looks to me like the South American crops, corn and beans both, are shrinking, but unfortunately, the USDA is not giving us confirmation of that, and the USDA is kind of the holy grail here, so to speak, the gospel, and we didn't get much on the bullish side today because of those discrepancies in the South American numbers. So mm-hmm. A little bit of a disappointing head scratcher, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. What's a few hundred million metric tons amongst friends, right?
No. Yeah, what the half a billion there, half a billion here. It starts adding up eventually, but
yeah.
Who knows, you know?
They're just numbers on a page, right? Chip.
That's right. That's right.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. All right. So let's jump over and talk about what's going on in the cattle market real quick. So the previous week, we saw some real heavy losses, all kind of spinning around. You know, no one really knew the answer to what was going to happen with the avian flu situation that we saw in the dairy side of the business. Looks like right now, this week, cattle have pretty much rebounded pretty nicely back to what they were. They have some ups and downs this week, but it seems like they're kind of making their way back. As you look at the cattle market now, Chip, with this kind of post-scare, that's kind of a scare, I guess, it's still there, but this kind of post-reaction, I guess, to what we saw last week. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's good to see some stability finally, right? And I think people forget, too, it's easy to and certainly the avian flu type situation causes uncertainty. You know, are we going to have to liquidate more, dairy cattle? Is it going to move over to the beef side? What's it mean for exports and all that uncertainty around that? But it's what's lost in the shuffle here is that, you know, right before that came out, that news came out, we had a bearish cattle on feed report. We had a new month and new quarter start. And the funds had a huge long position built up with profits in there. And so, you know, the market in the case of cattle would have been lower regardless, not as deep as we ended up going because you add on this avian flu uncertainty. But we would have had a break in the cattle market, irregardless of the avian flu situation. It looks like we're stable. I'd really like to see a bounce into the end of the week on Friday and in a decent close. I don't think we're fully out of the woods. But, I think we've gone a long way towards digesting, a lot of this news. And I think a good, strong close to the week, you know, maybe we can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief that maybe the worst is behind us here.
Yeah. All right. So hogs also had a pretty good week this week as well. So looking at where you're at now, I think a couple of days ago, they kind of gave back what they gained there coming into the week. But for the most part this week, they've done a decent job of getting back up there. Going into that seasonal time where you've seen some seasonal demand for pork and those kind of things. But I guess as you look at that situation with pork or with hogs right now, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it got some benefit of a couple things. Number one, we've got tremendous exports going right now. I think that there's, some of these inflation reports we've seen over the last week show inflation ticking up. We've essentially, we're at record beef prices. Retail beef prices are very close to it. So I think the pork market's gotten some benefit just from being cheaper and maybe having the consumer stretch a little bit, that we've seen really good domestic demand. And our exports have just been on fire on the pork side. And then I think you throw the uncertainty in of this avian flu situation. You know, what's that going to do? Just the press, the negativity of the press of, can it be transferred? Yeah, it's not even in the beef herd yet that we know of. But, the fear that it's going to go into the beef herd and what's that mean to meat? Just the perception of that in the press. I think that's helped pork demand out a little bit. And, to your point earlier, we've got, it's a little bit early, right? Typically, you don't see the best demand until you get into, like June, July, that summer grilling season. And so that's all ahead of us. So, the market's doing well. Maybe got a little ahead of itself. We had a pretty nasty correction earlier this week where we had like a, $3 plus down day, but we've kind of stabilized since then. So, I think the hog market looks good. We could probably still do a little more back and fill to the downside and, correct prices a little bit, get, kind of back from overbought a little bit and still have plenty of room for a further rally into the summer. But I think the hog market looks on pretty good footing in here in spite of what we saw here a few weeks back of a, the hogs and pigs report was a little bit on the bearish side. And so there certainly wasn't anything in that that said, oh my gosh, this is wildly bullish in any of the, different classes of weights that you saw. And actually, the farrowing's number still stayed really strong. So hog market may be the shining star of the entire ag sector right now with what it's done and probably a little bit premature and even early in the normal seasonal demand cycle. So that bodes well, I think, into the summer for hogs.
Right on. All right, let's talk just a little bit real quick about, we're in planting season right now. Like you just talked about earlier, everyone's getting ready to go. Everybody's got great weather situations. Seems like a lot of places that were dry got a pretty good blast of moisture over the weekend. I know we sure did out here. We got about almost 2 inches of rain out where I'm at, and temperatures haven't been that cool or haven't been really all that cool. So you're starting to see some soil temperatures maybe a little bit earlier than normal come to life. But I guess, Chip, as you're looking at this planting season as we go into this and assuming that we've got the good planting windows and everything kind of stays the same, how do you think your market's going to react to that as we start seeing, maybe we get ahead of schedule on planting? Do you feel like there's going to be a dip in corn because of that? Or do you feel like there's going to be maybe some more optimism based around the stuff we're seeing in Brazil right now?
Yeah, I think it's a mixed bag. Historically, if you're in that situation where planters are rolling, especially if it's a little bit early, that tends to be bearish and you get a price break on corn especially. It's a little bit of a mixed bag, right? It's kind of the tale of two corn belts like it was the last couple of years right now. So Illinois is kind of neutral. We're just on the borderline in the northern half of Illinois of maybe having a little bit too much rain. Farmers would like to see it back off, quit raining, and it wouldn't take long to dry things out and be perfect. Indiana, Ohio, and then south into the Delta has had way too much rain. They're going to need to dry out for a while. Then you get west towards towards your direction, and there has been some rain, very welcome rain, and things look like they're going to dry out, and maybe the fastest planting pace could be the Western Corn Belt. But historically, early on, planting early typically leads to a price break and the assumption that corn acres will grow. We remember back on the the end of March there, last trading day of March, we had a 90 million acre print on corn that was basically on the low estimate. Typically, if corn planters are rolling early, you tend to pick up acres. Farmers like planting corn. They like harvesting corn. And if they're planting early and conditions are good, they usually, plant, an extra 40, extra 80 acres and it can add up. So, but with all that being said, you've got now this South American situation that's in the backdrop? You know, does it get worse in Argentina? Does their crop continue to, you know, dramatically decrease because of this insect and disease pressure that they're seeing late in their season? The second crop corn in Brazil has had some rain, but there's pockets that are still dry. How's that finish out here the next 60, 70 days? That's going to be important too. That could add some volatility. But, you know, in a vacuum, if planters are rolling early and it's good weather, it's typically hard for the corn market to go anything but lower in that environment.
Okay. All right. Last question. And this is just, this is your editorial portion of the Moving Iron podcast. Looking at what's going on in Brazil, there's been not really any good news that's come out of Brazil this entire growing season, right? Whether you're looking at soybean situation we saw, where it was either getting flooded out or we were too dry, and then we're planting into dry situations and all those kind of things. When do you think some of that bullish news is going to move our market? What's it going to take to make that? Because it just doesn't seem like there's any. Doesn't matter if it's good news or bad news that comes out of Brazil. Nothing happens, I guess. So what's your thought on that?
Yeah, that's a tough one, Casey. You know, because there's two schools of thought. It's like, well, on the one hand, you what you say, right? We've gone through some bullish periods and thrown some bullish news and shrinking crop sizes, at least in the case of CONAB, right? Whose opinion should matter. I mean, they are on the ground.
Yeah, you think that,
you know,
matters.
Doing the research right there and the yield counts. But there hasn't been much of a route. So the other part of my brain says, well, maybe even though it hasn't been bullish, maybe it's keeping prices higher than where we normally would have been. But I would tell you that the cash market always tells you. So, you know, right now, Brazil's about, I think they're somewhere north of 70%, probably working closer to 80% harvester on their bean crops. So they're on the downside of that. If their basis comes roaring back, which it has stabilized and started creeping higher, and we get real competitive, what's been very quiet under the radar, two times earlier this week, we've sold some beans to unknown. That's usually China, but not always. But we are selling the beans is the point here. You know, if we stabilize the cash market, Brazil basis increases, we get, you know, competitive, we can see our exports come back in a hurry. So the cash market will tell you whether we need to be bullish or not. It hasn't yet. They're trying to finish up that, you know, that harvest down there. And the other thing would be trying to get a little more clarity on this huge discrepancy between the USDA numbers and the rest of the world's projections. And, you know, next month, a month from now on the May crop report, if the USDA starts seeing some deeper cuts, that could be enough to spark a rally. It's just so many moving parts to this thing that it's hard. It's unlike a normal year where, you know, you got one or two things that the market's watching. You've got what's South American crop, what's our planting, all the outside markets, you know, the renewable diesel fuel here, and that's increasing. Our exports haven't been very good. You know, two wars going on right now in the world. There's just so many facets and gears in the mechanism right now. It really is, unfortunately, I think, going to breed a lot more volatility as you get into the summer time frame here.
Great. Okay. Good stuff as usual, Chip. Folks want to reach out to you and get more information about what's happening over at Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, best way is just give us a call at the office. Our main number in Morton is 309-550-7213. We'd love to chat with you about what's going on with your risk management plan.
Chip, appreciate you being on. We'll catch you again next week.
All right. Thanks, Casey.
Right on. I'm Casey Seymour with Moving Iron Podcast. Check me out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Moving Iron LLC. Go to LinkedIn at Moving Iron Podcast. See the video version over on the YouTube channel, which is the Moving Iron Podcast YouTube channel. And it's the same over at TikTok as well. Go to Moving Iron LLC for everything Moving Iron related. And you can see the new website that's up there as well. Get all the information for the Moving Iron Summit, which is now up and running. So you can get registered for that. All that information is there. So if you need more information about that, you can send me an email at MovingIronPodcast@MovingIronPodcast.com. And I'll be sure to get back to you. So with that, I'm Casey Seymour with Chip Nillinger. Let's move some iron, folks.
The Moving Iron Podcast is brought to you by these great sponsors. Are you looking to value your equipment more accurately, target the right buyers and close more deals, reach your ideal customer? Then look no further. Fusible isn't just about ag data. It's about action. Our best-in-class solution empowers you to value your equipment accurately, make informed decisions, and find the perfect prospects. Ignite your dealership's growth at fusible.com
movingiron.com/movingiron-podcast. Out in the field, every decision counts. You wouldn't plant without testing your soil, so why would you prospect blind? Introducing EDA, your one-stop shop for ag equipment intel. EDA goes beyond specs and prices. You get deep dive data on every piece of equipment, like UCC filings that help track ownership changes and uncover potential sales leads, D&B firmographics, which help you understand the financial health and buying power of potential customers, market trends that help you stay ahead of the curve, and insights on equipment demands and pricings. With EDA, you're not just looking at data, you're seeing opportunity. Find the right buyer, sell smarter, and build lasting relationships. Visit edadata.com for your free demo and unlock the power of knowledge. For over 80 years, Iron Solutions has been your go-to data source for ag dealers, lenders, and manufacturers. Get powerful appraisal and value forecasting tools that fuel profitable decisions anytime, anywhere. Get your free demo at ironsolutions.com. Iron Solutions, confidence in every click. Today, there are many ways to finance ag equipment, but nobody delivers simple, fast, or flexible financing like AgDirect. Learn more about your options to buy, lease, and refinance equipment at agdirect.com. Valley Transportation has been hauling ag and construction equipment across the country for the past 33 years. Call Parker at 800-657-4910 for all your trucking needs. At Valley Transportation, our goal is to help you reach yours. This podcast is proudly provided by Axon, helping dealers move more iron for the past 100 years. Find out more at axontire.com. Move more iron with Axon.
Moving iron in the 21st century.